Great. Good morning, everybody. So my presentation today is about a research capacity building training program in Boston called Building Your Capacity, Advancing Research Through Community Engagement. So I have no financial or commercial disclosures to make. And, you know, just as a background to our project, in 2008, three Clinical Translational Science Awards, which is funded by NIH, were awarded to three of the academic medical centers in Boston, Boston University, Harvard University, and Tufts University. And these CTSAs, they were infrastructure building grants to support translational research in academic medical centers. And just kind of a quick definition of translational research is research that moves from, you know, the bench to the bedside out into the community for improved public health outcomes. And central, so part of CTSAs also is the breaking down of disciplinary silos and trying to create more collaboration within universities. And also central to the CTSAs is community engagement. So Boston is a very interesting city. I mean, there's, you know, when we started to talk to our community partners, we found out that a lot of our community partners in Boston experience what they would call research fatigue. So these are community-based organizations and low-income, communities, primarily communities of color in the Boston area, are well used to researchers knocking on their door, asking them to participate in research. But a lot of these communities find it to be either unidirectional, you know, a researcher comes in with the research agenda, or they call it helicopter research, where researchers come in, take data, and leave, and don't bring the findings back to the community. So there's a lot of frustration with academic medical centers and research institutions in the Boston area. You know, at the same time, though, I think a lot of these community groups, they do see the value in research, but they want to be more at the table with researchers. And they want to be not just subjects of researcher, that they want to be participants in the research process. And this is something that we found out from one of our community partners very early on that, you know, I think some researchers think, okay, if I, you know, reciprocity means that I pay you to become, you know, to participate in my trial or my research project, but I think communities are looking for more than that to be equal partners in research. So something else that we heard from our community partners very early on was that they wanted all these different academic universities to work together. They didn't want the universities fighting over them. They wanted us to learn how to play in the sandbox well together. And, you know, these were, you know, the academic medical centers through CTSAs were able to leverage resources, and the communities wanted to be able to benefit from these resources. So Boston University, Tufts University, and Harvard University, we got together and started to talk about, okay, how can we work together? And we received some technical assistance from Northwestern University, from Jen Cowper Brown, where their CTSAs had started to come together. And actually, and also at that time, you know, some of the stimulus money, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act money was starting to roll through NIH as well, and that gave us an opportunity to come together and do this research capacity building project that I think all the CTSAs had been hearing about from their community partners. So this is a partnership with Tufts CTSI, Harvard Catalyst, the BU CTSI, and two of our key community partners, the Center for Community Health Education Research and Services, and their Immigrant Services Providers Group in Somerville. And we also received consultation from both the Columbia CTSI as well as from the Northwestern CTSI. So the goal of our training program was to help support academic community partnership building. We wanted to find a way to work together to support this with our community partners. And we created a 6-month training program that taught people about the art and science of community-based participatory research. So we just finished our first cohort. We accepted 10 organizations from a pool of 35, and we received Yeah, we received 35 applications from within the greater New England area. There was a lot of interest in learning how to partner with academic researchers. And so we're just in the process now of, you know, collating all our data and analyzing our findings. But what I primarily wanted to talk to you about today was our pedagogical framework. So one of the first things, and this was a very organic process that developed both with the steering committee, which was all the partners you know, in that slide, as well as with our community research fellows who were in this with us. And so, you know, one of the things we learned very early on was that it was really important to have community-centered teaching and learning. You know, one of the things we did in the beginning of our of this project is we went around and did site visits with all the 10 different community-based organizations and health centers. And you know, we felt that this was very important to building trust. So even though a lot of the community groups, you know, were interested, you know, they were still wary of us because we were academic universities. And I remember going to one of the site visits and, you know, one of the staff jokingly said, so we went to the site visit and we started the conversation by saying, what are your questions? What do you want to know from us? And one of the staff members kind of jokingly said, what, you don't have a PowerPoint for us? Because I think that, you know, people are used to academics coming in a very didactic manner and just, you know, kind of telling the community what needs to be done. And then something else that we learned from this first site visit is that we realized that the communities that we had accepted into this training program really had a lot of knowledge and experience to share. So originally, we had designed our first day where we would bring in three different models of community-based participatory research. And after our site visits, we quickly realized that this did not need to be a, you know, expert, you know, teaching the community, that really the community had a lot to teach us and each other. And so that's how we structured our first day, where there was a lot of co-learning. And at the end of that first session, a lot of the fellows, you know, they came up to me afterwards and said, you know, we really appreciated this because it really helped us feel like we are the experts in this process. You know, another key component of our training program was just the fellows themselves. You know, I think that, you know, I really feel like the fellows learned more from each other than maybe they learned even from us in the curriculum. And, you know, they really saw themselves as really this rich resource in the room. And they really saw a strength of the program is the diversity of the group, and not just diversity in terms of race or ethnicity, but diversity in terms of, you know, how research-ready an organization was, how they defined health. You know, we didn't just accept groups that, you know, defined health in, you know, disease focus. We also included groups that focused on the social determinants of health. And there was a lot of respect in the room for different places where people were coming from. I mean, we had people in the room who, you know, just had a GED, or we had people in the room who were maybe PhDs but working as evaluators in community-based organizations. But what we really created was the space for people to really learn from each other. You know, there were a couple of people on the planning committee, on the steering committee, who really had a background in adult learning and education, you know, very Freirean. And I think we knew very early on that we didn't want to just, you know, portray the banking model of education, that we really wanted the participants to be co-learners and co-teachers in this process. And I think that the fellows, they, you know, when we did the post-evaluation, they really appreciated this kind of framework in the training program. And then something else that I think was really important for this training program was that the steering committee was a reflective educational community. And, you know, we started off the, you know, the six sessions, and we had a general idea of how things should go. But, you know, depending on what was the feedback of the fellows, we were able to make adjustments as things went on. And the fellows really appreciated that. They appreciated that we were very responsive to their needs and to what they wanted to get out of this training as well. And, you know, these were not easy issues to, you know, to go over. There was a lot of, you know, the steering committee, we had very lively debates. And but we were able to really come together and think about what made most sense for the community. And I would say another strength of our teaching practice was that we really had a diverse group in our steering committee. So, you know, we had people from public health and social work and education and biology and medicine. And I think that, you know, people who had different experiences with community. And I would say that, you know, one of the strengths of the planning team was that most of the academics who were part of the planning team, you know, they had some exposure to community engagement or to CBPR processes. So I guess you would say, you know, they got it. And so, you know, one thing that was really, that we found towards the end as we were doing the evaluation is, you know, people really felt like, huh, you know, you guys modeled the way CBPR should be practiced in the community, you know, with a focus on relationship building, with a spirit of humility in doing this work. And the fellows really responded to the way that we conducted this training program. And, you know, I always hate to use the word empowerment because, you know, I don't want to say that we empowered the community, even though some of them did say, you know, we felt really empowered by this process. And I think what we were able to do was really, you know, transform relationships and support buy-in from the community, such that when this training program was over, the fellow said, we don't want this relationship to be over. We really want to work with you guys and really support academic community partnerships in the Boston area. So one thing that I'm starting to tease out with this is how the pedagogical process influenced the outcomes in our training program. And so this is the evaluation methodology that we used. And what I'm beginning to see is that you know, a lot of what we hear in the post surveys from people is that, you know, they really felt as though this training gave them the tools and the knowledge and the skills so that they could sit at the table with academic researchers and be co-researchers in this process. And I think, you know, another thing that I'm beginning to see is that, you know, we talk a lot about how to do research. I think we talk a lot about, you know, what's the science of doing research. And I think that where I see the pedagogical process influencing our outcomes is to think about the art of how you do this kind of work. And, you know, this is a very, you know, human intensive work. You know, it's not enough to just take a curriculum off the shelf and just, you know, kind of present it, that there really is this, you know, kind of human element and an artistry that really needs to be taken into account in thinking about doing this kind of work. Because, you know, as we all know who do CBPR, I mean, relationships is fundamental. And really, you know, building, maintaining, and sustaining those relationships really, I think, is both a science and an art. So, you know, we just finished the first cohort, and we have just selected our second cohort. And we're hoping to sustain this program in some way. We have some different examples of how to sustain it. And we also, you know, are hoping to, you know, write up our findings and, you know, not just publish them, but also create some resources in the community. So, you know, this probably won't happen until later in 2011, but if any of you are interested in learning more about our project or, you know, sharing some of the resources that we have, I'm happy to talk to you more. Thank you.